You're listening to the BBS Radio Network, and this is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud, healer, author, shaman, paranormal investigator. Stay tuned. Up next is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud.
Welcome, everyone. This is Derek White, Sky Cloud, and you're listening to and watching Between Two Worlds Radio on bbsradio.com. We are the alternative to all radio programs across the world. And I've been told here we've been actually rated number 2 radio show out of over 1,500 radio stations on the Internet. Now, that's not too bad, folks. I'm rated number 2. I'm actually happy with that. Now, tonight is a very special night because we're going to actually have two great fellows that actually are trying to help protect our herbs across the world, as well as Canada, because, well, basically the important part of it is actually about Canada. We have these fellows that they've been involved with the Strauss Herb Company. I'm not sure when they got started, but I actually will be asking those questions later on. But I introduce you guys this, regarding the program itself. Now, these guys are involved. Now, first of all, we'll talk about Peter Helgeson, who is the SHC Special Projects. This is a reminder that there's a precedent-setting court case starting, which was actually did take place in Vancouver, and now this impacts the future of herbs. If you live near Vancouver, we're looking to help pack the courtrooms so that a clear message is sent to the judge recording regarding Canadian interests and the outcome of our health Canada's drug prescription regulations. Now, this happened about, I'm not sure what the date was. I forgot, guys. What was that date? Are you guys there?
Oh, when the court hearing was?
Yeah, the first court hearing took place.
Oh, hang on a second.
about a month or so ago.
Filing. It was on the October 21st, 22nd, 23rd.
Okay, that's it. Now, I want to introduce everybody. This is Peter Helgeson and Sean Buckley. Welcome, guys. Welcome on the show.
Glad to be here.
Okay, now Sean Buckley is also the lawyer. He actually works under the guise of Shaw, and he's actually one of the representatives to help assist us to protect our herbs. Peter Helgeson is actually part of the special projects. Peter talks about all the programs that represent anything to do with herbs that we're trying to let the public know that there is a huge protection in our own personal foods. Red yeast rice, Gorgonzola, Yohimbe bark, cowhage, velvet bean, which relates to all certain kinds of foods and drinks that we do eat and drink, which is the green tea, the black tea, cocoa, chocolate, which most of these elements are found in carrots, eggs, milk, broccoli, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so there's a lot of great things out there that we need to protect. And if we don't stand up against the government and say no, they're going to be putting in that codex, which basically is going to take that away from us, and we're not going to have anything. We're not going to be able to have any power under our own guise of having to say, what's next? And because they're going to actually end up telling us that we have to pay $150 for a vitamin B, which will probably be one-third worth of its consumption. They're going to end up making us actually get a prescription of all herbs, and they'll be closing all the stores unless you pay thousands upon thousands and thousands of dollars for licenses, and again, it's difficulty with that as well. Does that make any sense, guys?
Well, it does. Derek, do you want me to explain to the audience what the court case was about?
Yes, I appreciate it. Would you go right ahead?
So, the audience will have heard of prescription drugs because we go to doctors and we get prescriptions, and we can only get them filled through pharmacists. And the list of prescription drugs includes mainly single-ingredient chemicals, but it also lists some plants and some extracts. And everyone agrees. So, I mean, when I say everyone, I mean the whole natural health product industry, and your audience will agree. Health Canada agrees. You can't take something specifically listed as a prescription drug and add it to a natural health product and expect that you could sell it without a prescription. But Health Canada wants to take this further and say Well, okay, we agree you can't actually take one of those chemicals listed on Schedule F, this prescription list. But if we can take a plant, if we can take a natural health product and send it to our lab and chemically extract a chemical that's listed as a prescription drug, then that plant, then that food is prescription only. And that's what the case was about. Health Canada basically made a decision that they're going to treat any natural health product from which you can extract from the plants in it a prescription drug, we're going to treat that as prescription only. And so when you were saying earlier, things like green tea and black tea and chocolate, those are just very obvious examples of plant substances that you can extract a prescription drug from. So it's a very broad application. In fact, we're very concerned that there are not many natural health products out there containing plants that you probably could not extract a prescription drug from.
Exactly. I understand because when I was actually, myself being Aboriginal, I've done the diabetes conference here last year off the Driftpaw First Nations Reservation, and we were up in Slave Lake and doing the diabetes conference, and Health Canada was actually one of our sponsors to create the interest and, you know, letting the public know that there is support in the diabetes industry. That's on the doctor's belief system, medical industry, a sense of that. But we also had a young lady that worked for, or somebody actually they sent down from Health Canada, and they were coming to each of our tables that whatever we were displaying as far as herbs are concerned, that each of them came to our tables and asked us to if they can take a picture of our products as well as signing a piece of paper giving them the right to look at our products, and if we signed that piece of paper, which we some people did not look at the fine print, it stated that if they didn't like what we had on the table, they have the right to press charges. And we turned around and said, don't ever come back here again.
Well, isn't that interesting that they would send somebody there? Peter, do you recall last year, was it the homeopathic doctor?
Yeah. It was the Naturopathic Doctor Show at the Pan Pacific in April.
Yes.
And this is some of the most high-end manufacturers in the world selling cutting-edge products to professional practitioners who are licensed from various institutions in Canada and the United States as naturopathic doctors at a private show, and Health Canada showed up without a warrant, and they weren't invited. However, the organizers were disinclined to cause a scene, so they let them in, accompanied by a Canadian Border Services Agency operative in full combat gear with bulletproof vest and combat boots.
Oh.
At the Hyatt Hotel in a ballroom full of professionals.
Give me a break, like we're going to shoot them with our beans.
Yeah, no, but it's interesting, though, if it conditions you. That's what it was all about, was to send a message.
Yeah, and they think they're tough guys. I mean,
well, and like I say, these are medical professionals, and at a private event, who are licensed under law to prescribe or to indicate to their patients who pay out of their own pocket, by and large, for these people's advice, and trying to intimidate them, basically.
Now, Sean, you have a website called thecharterofhealthfreedom.org.
Yes. And also we've got our organization, the Natural Health Product Protection Association.
Okay.
The website there, it would be nhppa.org.
Okay.
So charterofhealthfreedom.org and nhppa.org.
nhppa.org. Okay, I'm going to put this down here, because what I'm doing, like actually I have what you call it overlays on my screen on the website itself, and the overlay will show itself. Anybody wants to go to the page, if you are unable to get to write all the words down, charterofhealthfreedom.org, and I want to let people know, go to the page that has the videos. That means it's charterofhealthfreedom.org/videos.php, and I'm telling you, listen to some of the things that Sean had spoken about. It will get your hair to stand on end, because basically a lot of people think that, again, our ignorance we think we're protected. We're really not. Not completely. We're not completely protected because I was a friend of mine who used to work for Strauss many years ago when he started out, and he was basically supplying the herbs, Strauss herbs, and he was one of the program, sales reps. And when Health Canada found out about where he lived, they went to his home, seized all the herbs, and seized all his computers. And they roughed him up against the wall and told him if he ever decided to continue what he's doing with this company, they would throw him in jail and throw the key away. He was so scared. And this man actually had a heart problem. That scared him. He was actually right out of it. He didn't know how to respond to that. Does that make sense at all?
Welcome to the brave new world of healing.
Yeah, brave new world of healing. They were so afraid. I mean, you know what? This is not the first time, because I got a few other friends that actually have talked to me about Health Canada or other people that are in that same similar project of Health Canada, which they've threatened people's lives and roughed them up and told them, you know, we can take you out anytime, we can shut you down anytime, threat, threat, threat. And they wear them bulletproof vests. But you notice one thing, the RCMP don't want to get involved.
Well, that's not always true. We have the example where Health Canada raided the True Hope call center. And for your audience that isn't familiar with True Hope, they have just a single product called E-Empower Plus that is a very effective treatment for bipolar disorder.
Oh.
And they have a call center because you can't buy it in stores. You have to join this support program because they actually chart your symptoms and tweak your doses and that depending on how you're doing. They, Health Canada goes in, I think it was 7 RCMP officers and about 11 Health Canada inspectors to raid this call center. And they were there for 2 days. Going through all of this stuff, copying their computer files. It was over the top. I mean, it might as well have been a SWAT team going in. And these are basically mental health counselors at a call center. It was clearly a call center. It was so over the top. And to even make it more over the top is in that case, they used a warrant. But the case with your friend, I'm willing to bet they didn't have a warrant when they went to his house.
No, they didn't.
And seized his property. And the seizure power that they use in the Food and Drug Act, it's Section 23, Sub 1, Sub D, that was declared unconstitutional by the federal court in the mid-'80s. I think it was 1986.
Yeah.
So here we have this Health Canada using a law that the courts have said is unconstitutional. It violates our Section 8 charter right to be free from unreasonable search and seizure. And so it's very interesting. On the one hand, Health Canada will demand full compliance with the law of any manufacturer and use the law as a weapon to destroy people that are trying to heal others.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, they completely ignore the law themselves.
Have they, I mean, I need to know this because you guys probably know the program quite well, but have they really taken the word heal and health and cure out of the rights of putting into an advertisement?
Yes.
Why?
And it goes to, and I'm not the lawyer, but this is more the political side of the Food and Drug Act, and it all speaks to the definition of the word drug in the Act. And a drug in the Act isn't a substance. It's a substance which is intended for a use. And if that use is to, what is the exact wording, strong to prevent, treat, mitigate, or cure a disease state in humans or animals.
Yes.
So for instance, if you characterize someone's thirst as dehydration, that would be a medical state, a medical shortfall. And if you recommended water, you would be prescribing water as a treatment for a medical anomaly, and that would make water a drug under the definition of the word drug in the Food and Drug Act.
Well, why do you think they're trying to take the water bottles off the shelf?
That's a good one on me.
Because it's not about they're trying to say we need to take bottled water out of the schools, bottled water out of all the shelves, and because they're saying it's supposed to supposedly leave a toxin. If it's going to leave a toxin, then you might as well start taking all items that are based on plastics, including pop, soda pops, any kind of drink, lemon citrus drinks of all sorts that are actually in plastic bottles. They leave off more toxic gases because you've got citrus in it.
Yeah, and you know, I haven't looked into the plastic water bottle thing. So, you know, I can't say whether that's a good move or a bad move as far as that goes. But on this issue that Peter was raising about, yeah, you know, that it's use-based, because when we think of the word drug, like just the public hears the word drug, we think, oh, chemicals. We think,
yes,
something synthetic that's made.
Exactly.
We wouldn't think that garlic is a drug, for example. But what the point Peter's trying to make is so you can go to the grocery store and you can buy garlic as a food and it can be sold to you as a food. But the minute you make a health claim for garlic, and I mean, you could make a lot of legitimate health claims for garlic, it just does wonderful things for you, then all of a sudden it's a drug. And in fact, there are a lot of herbalists out there. There are a lot of small manufacturers that are safely making high-quality natural health products with garlic that are going to be driven off the market. I mean, it's a perfect example because they cannot comply with these now very strict regulations. So on the one hand, you've got the same ingredients being sold as safely as foods. You put the ingredients, you make a health claim for the ingredients, and all of a sudden they're unsafe drugs. And it's quite amazing. And I think your audience probably is not aware that we are facing a crisis for our freedom of whether or not we can choose to treat ourselves with natural health products when we get sick. Because when they walk into the health food store, the shelves are still full. And they have no idea. For example, John Biggs, one of the directors of the Natural Health Product Protection Association, runs a series of health food stores in Edmonton. And he was able to just in about an hour document about 20,000 products he can no longer get for the store because there are entire lines that U.S. manufacturers will no longer ship into Canada. Perfectly safe, perfectly legal in the U.S., but they cannot comply with our regulations. And he says every time I place an order to a Canadian manufacturer, I'm told that some of the products I want to order are no longer being manufactured. The consumer isn't noticing because there are still enough products that haven't been driven off the shelves to fill the empty spots.
Well, here's
the consumers. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Well, one thing I actually noticed before I go to tell you this, I have noticed that their shelves are getting smaller because I go to health food stores, for example, and I will name the name, Alive Health Food. They themselves, they have to slowly give more distance of each item on the shelf, and they're not as full as they normally are, and they're spreading their herbs a little bit further apart to make it look as if it's full. But if they really did crowd them together, they don't have much in the store.
Yeah, I mean, what's happening is most herbs we go into, they're just replacing it with those lines that they're still able to get.
Yes.
So the consumers may have noticed that the brand that they were getting before, or the specific product they were getting before, is available. But if, you know, they ask, there's still there's a replacement product. But it's accelerating. In the next 2 years, consumers are going to notice that there are fewer products and that some of the very effective products that they rely on for serious health conditions they can no longer get. So, in fact, I would recommend now to your audience, and I can tell you I personally do it, I'm stocking up on those natural remedies that me or a family member rely on. So, you know, you've heard that advice, and unless people start getting involved fairly quickly, the industry is going to be crippled, and it's going to take decades to get back to where we are now.
Definitely, because basically, I mean, I used to go to the store and get charcoal, and you get the tablets, and because, I mean, charcoal has a lot of healing capabilities, especially if you have yellow jaundice or if you have an infection, you place the charcoal, mix it with some paste, and you cover it well, and by morning, that infection is gone. and he's also used quite well constantly for digestion. If you're ever dealing with a gas pocket issue or high acids, the charcoal has been known for hundreds and thousands of years to be used as for a digestive element. But yet, the government had to be so stupid, and I will say the word stupid, to take charcoal off the shelf and call it illegal. It's just charred wood.
Well,
oh, yeah, no, well, Derek, I mean, it's
lethal.
It must be lethal. They would never do anything to hurt us.
They no, but they told our other stores that the Health Canada came into our stores, some of our health food stores, told them to take the charcoal off the shelves because it's illegal. And they took it off. They told me, don't take it off, we're going to seize it.
Mm-hmm.
Charcoal. I mean, come on.
I mean,
using charcoal for a pencil.
Yeah. I mean, one of my favorites is them going after colloidal silver. And some of their statements when they've attacked specific manufacturers of colloidal silver is, well, you know, may have a high bacterial content. I mean, that's like saying Javex might have a high bacterial content. Because yeah. Your listeners, I hope they know that colloidal silver is a fantastic antibacterial.
Of course it is.
So it's really interesting, the things that Health Canada does to justify what they're doing. Because their whole, I guess, public face is we're doing this to protect you. So we're in the process where Canadians are losing their ability to access natural remedies that we've relied on for centuries, that we currently are able to access safely. There's never been a death in Canadian history. So let's go back 141 years to our Confederation. There's never been a documented death caused by a natural health product. We have documented deaths each year caused by simple over-the-counter pain medicines. We have deaths caused by common foods such as peanuts and shellfish. So common things
caused by overhydration of water.
Yeah, we actually have people dying from drinking too much water.
Yeah, there was a lady, they had a contest at a radio show. They had a contest as who drank the most water. This one girl drank a whole gallon of water and died in the studio. This happened about maybe six or seven months ago.
Yeah, like CDC had a thing on where a doctor was talking about, and he was quite frustrated, that some runners are dying every year from drinking too much water because
yeah.
You just have it now and runners think, oh, I got to keep drinking.
It drowned up the electrolytes.
Yeah, and he said, you know, he had searched medical literature. He had never found a single example of a runner dying of dehydration. You just get sick and stop running,
mm-hmm. But
you don't die. And so it was frustrating him because it's just the mindset of needing to drink is actually dangerous. So statistically speaking, the entire natural health product industry is safer than bottled water. And yet we're driving the industry into the ground. And what's really frightening is if you look at the risk profile of our chemical pharmaceutical drugs, they can be extremely dangerous. They can present fatal side effects. And, you know, crippling and debilitating side effects. It's a very risky game to be putting synthetic chemicals into your body. And yet, as Health Canada is taking our natural alternatives away in the name of safety, they are forcing us then, when we get sick, to take chemical pharmaceutical drugs. And it makes no sense.
You know, we're not informed about this. All we are told by television, here it is, influence on television and an actor who pretends to be a doctor, and it says, doctor approved. Who's doctor? Whatever the item's supposed to be, comes on television, and they want you to buy this drug. And so some of these people will go in there, and they'll say, well, I need to find this drug that this, I saw it on TV. Half the doctors here in, where we're near here in Surrey or Vancouver, they have no idea what's on TV, what comes out as a drug. But they'll say, well, you know, I don't have that drug, but I got this experimental drug in here. You want to try that one? It may have some side effects. It may cause hair growth on your eyebrows, even maybe become one unibrow, or you can also grow hair on your more on your chest, or you may go blind, or you may become pregnant, you may destroy your baby, you may do all this, all these little side effects, but don't worry about it. If you don't like it, we'll just change it. But they never talk about...
Well, you know, you're hitting a really interesting point there. And the point is that we are actually conditioned
mm-hmm.
to go to our doctors and expect them to give us drugs. And we're conditioned to accept side effects. And when I say we're conditioned to go to our doctors and accept drugs, there are a lot of doctors out there who are aware that writing people scripts for pharmaceutical drugs is a dangerous game. And so some of your listeners will have heard, even in the mainstream media, that a high percentage of the prescriptions that we're receiving when we go to the doctor are actually sugar pill placebos. So it doesn't say sugar pill. It'll actually have a drug name. You go to the pharmacist, and the pharmacist knows the game the doctor's playing, and we're being prescribed sugar pills, thank goodness. It's just the doctors are satisfying this conditioning we've had to expect them to give us a prescription, but actually trying to protect us from dangerous chemicals by just instead prescribing a sugar pill. But doesn't it say something about us as a society that we've been so conditioned to expect to be given a pharmaceutical drug when we have anything wrong with us, that doctors feel obligated to write prescriptions and are fooling us as a way of protecting us from their harm? It's just absolutely incredible how accepting we are when, if you were to go to a natural health practitioner or, you know, most nutritionists worth their salt, some of them will not take pharmaceutical drugs. I'm just reading a book written by Dr. Carolyn Dean called Death by Modern Medicine.
Yeah, I've heard of that one, yeah.
Which documents that the leading cause of death in North America is pharmaceutical drugs.
Well, let's go somewhere else, guys. There's a fellow, you heard of him by the name of Kevin Trudeau.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, more natural cures that the government does not want you to know. What are your thoughts on this guy?
I've attended a couple of events that Kevin was a guest speaker at, organized by some friends of mine in the United States, called Health Freedom Expos, and he was a guest speaker at two that I attended in Long Beach. And I spoke to him briefly, and I support the work that he's doing, but I don't know him personally. I don't know
because they've actually they tried to put him in jail. They wanted to put him in jail for life for actually helping the public have the freedom of choice of using herbs of their own decision. But
well,
he became a threat.
About 5 or 6 years ago, like Kevin used to do a lot of infomercials, okay?
Yeah.
And he was always the guest on the infomercial. Or, pardon me, he was always the host
yeah.
on the infomercial. And the Federal Trade Commission, which is kind of the muscle in the United States, the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration in the United States, takes people to court. The Federal Trade Commission gets them to pay essentially a consent decree, whereby they'll pay a fantastic sum of money or else they will go to jail for a long time and they'll promise not, and they have to promise not to do whatever sin they had quote unquote committed again. So Kevin, was seen not to go to jail and he signed a consent decree with the FDA that he would never host another internet program recommending treatments for physical conditions on TV. And as a host, exactly correct. And then so he wrote the book, and he came back as a guest.
<laughs> I know.
And that was, even 4 or 5 years ago when that
But he also said, he said on his own show, they told me not to tell you to say this. Right? Do you remember
that? Yeah, it's amazing.
He said,
apparently, there is something in the United States called the First Amendment, but I guess it just doesn't apply in some circumstances. So.
Yeah, but I like the way they said it. He said, they told me not to tell you about this certain herb, what it can do to cure you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but he did say it, but he said, they told me not to.
Well, he doesn't
know what
I mean. That's the advantage.
Don't be fooled into thinking Canada's any different.
That's right.
You are making truthful claims in Canada about, you know, herbs solving or curing serious conditions, you are going to be attacked.
Oh, definitely.
So, I mean, it's the same thing, and it just raises some interesting philosophical questions as to how do we as Canadians get to the place where we will tolerate bureaucrats, you know, supposedly to protect us, you know, basically sending people to jail or fining them or harassing them or seizing their property for telling us the truth about natural remedies that can assist us.
There's, we got a caller asking us right now. Actually, we have someone in our chat room. I'd like to welcome everyone in our chat room. We have the BBS Red chat room as well as the Pal Talk chat room. We have a listener asking. She's concerned about the herbs like ginkgo, milk thistle, and the St. John's wort. She uses it. What is she going to be able to do if they decide to take it off the shelf?
Well, I mean, for mental acuity, and St. John's wort is for mild to moderate depression, and milk thistle is for your liver, so take Prozac.
You're extremely lucky.
Take Prozac, great beer, and forget your trouble.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is the point, and people haven't woken up yet, because as I say, we're still able to get natural health products, we're still able to get most of the things that we want, although the specific product that we might have used in the past is disappearing. There's still going to be an industry, but, you know, 75% of the products we had a year ago are going to be gone.
Yeah.
So, but this is a very serious question that this person is raising, because the truth is probably half of Canadians, Health Canada will tell us about 70% of us regularly take natural health products. But there is a large number of us that rely on natural health products for very serious conditions. And the stability, the quality of life that we get without side effects is being threatened. We are in a very serious and very dangerous game. And I marvel at the government's expertise, because the mainstream Canadian, the Canadian on the street, is accepting that this has to happen for their safety when it's absolutely backwards, because then we're forced to take dangerous chemical pharmaceuticals. A lot of people are on natural health products. They have tried everything the doctors have suggested, and they haven't worked, and then they've gone to naturopathic doctors or homeopathic doctors or other, you know, natural care practitioners,
yep,
and they're finding real relief, and that real relief is now being threatened.
Yes, it is. Before I go any further, I want to actually let everybody know out there, if you guys want to call in, there are toll-free numbers. Now, I'll let everybody know ahead of time. We have toll-free numbers that are available to those of you in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. These are toll-free numbers. And those in Canada is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. International callers, please call in 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. It does affect you folks. If you want to ask a question, please call in, because here's the guys that know their thing, their stuff. These guys have been around for a long time and know. If you need an answer, call in now. Now, continue on. I got another question to ask you, because this is another one here that my wife had a confrontation on. This one here that she was thinking about applying to work in this store, and they told her that she had to get a Hep A shot before she can work in a grocery store.
Seriously?
Seriously, they told her she had to get a Hep A shot, and if she didn't get a Hep A shot, she could not work for the company. And my wife had breast cancer, lost both her breasts. She's fully recovered. But she was advised if she took a Hep A shot, it would bring her cancer back. But yet they would not hire her.
Wow. I mean,
go ahead.
I don't think that's isolated. And Peter, do you know what Dr. Len Horwitz's site is? But if your listeners Google Dr. Len Horwitz,
yeah,
a very interesting person on this vaccination issue. He's a Harvard-trained public health expert who used to train public health officials.
Yep.
into how to do vaccinations.
Well, Len Horowitz is on right after me.
Oh, well, there you go. And so listen to him. He's just a wonderful man. But then when he looked into it, he realized, wait a second, the vaccinations actually pose a bigger risk than they solve. And he has been a tremendous whistleblower in demonstrating and bringing to the public awareness just how dangerous vaccinations are. And so it is a growing trend. I mean, we have some states actually making vaccinations mandatory, and it's getting harder for people to kind of opt out for religious grounds. It's still possible in the U.S. and Canada. But I have heard that some employers, it's starting to become more mainstream. Usually we hear about it in the healthcare field, that you have to get certain vaccinations, including the flu shots.
Well, this has also been brought up just now when you mentioned flu shots, because our other caller just said to me here online, says, ugh, I have to get the flu shot, one of the requirements working where I go. So basically, she's talking about getting a job, and they told her that she cannot work for them, that's what it sounds like, that she has to get a flu shot. Now, I understood that if you get the flu shot, it knocks your immune system down. It doesn't stop the flu. It makes you sick. For four freaking days. I know, I've seen people have side effects. They get really, really sick. And so the doctors or some idiot on radio telling you that you got to get a flu shot, pay $15 or you can get it for free, or they tell the kids in school you got to get your parents to get a flu shot, we insist, or the young girls have to have another shot so they won't get pregnant at the age of 12 to 16 years of age. Hello? And they're saying it's mandatory that they have to have these shots? And if they don't, they're going to get sick? I never had these shots when I was in school. Look at me. I'm big. Did you guys just get all these shots?
As an aside, I got Len's DVD in front of me. It's tetrahedron.org.
Tetrahedron.org.
Yeah. And the whole... My first... In exposure to this was an American chiropractor by the name of Dr. Tim O'Shea,
yes,
who wrote a book called The Sanctity of Human Blood. And as a father of, at that time, one, now three, let's just say I changed my personal medical behavior with my those who look to me for protection and nurture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's interesting.
Go ahead, Sean.
Well, just on Peter's point, I mean, I've got three kids. And, you know, the first went through all the vaccinations. We just didn't know. My second had a severe reaction, and that ended it. So my third's had no vaccinations, and my second hasn't since she had a severe reaction. I was absolutely blown away. I watched Dr. Len Horowitz give a presentation in Red Deer this spring. Just the number of deaths, the number of, you know, permanent disabilities that are caused by vaccinations. It would blow the minds of most people because we're taught it's safe, it's for safety. I mean, it's almost to the point that when you hear the government say safety, you know, your little suspicious antennas should go up. It's like somebody showing up at the door and saying, I'm from the government, I'm here to help you. The word safety is being a term that's used to take our rights and freedoms away, but not to actually protect our safety.
I've got a lady friend of mine. Her name is Brenda J. I won't give her her last name because she asked me not to. But she has a website called, I'll give her email address. Is Brenda8@teaminmotion.com. Now, she sells, and I'm going to advertise you, my dear, because you are actually one of my sponsors. She sells or represents a company called BHIP. And they sell an energy drink, but this energy drink is made of guarana, G-U-R-A-N-A. No caffeine in this, because you see a lot of caffeinated energy drinks out there, but this one has no caffeine. And I've actually been using it, and it actually is good. Now, interesting part, they're competing against other companies, but they're saying themselves, this company itself does not want to sell it in the stores, because they know full well if they put it in the stores that the Health Canada is going to actually take it right off the shelf because the word guarana Do you know what a guarana is?
No idea.
Okay.
It's a South American plant, I'm guessing.
South American plant. It's a fruit. It's been used for all types of healing purposes. It's not like a coffee bean. It's a lot of the people in the Colombian countries eat it. It's for health. They're very, very healthy. They live a long, long time. Their age life expanded. Apparently, there's one lady who's lived a year to 134 years. And their life expectancy is a lot longer than ours. And this is where the company itself, called BHIP, B-H-I-P, they're the ones that are trying to net out or network out this drink, energy drink. Now, I've been using it, and even the flavor is natural fruit. And I'm telling you, I use it. And they put it in a powdered form. You put it in water. You drink it whenever you want to. And it's good. I like it. Now, they got another one out that they've introduced to the public. I enjoy using it. I mean, because she's one of my sponsors, I promote her. And she's not having any problems here with the BHIP itself. Not with the Health Canada. But I'm gonna have a funny feeling that one day Health Canada, because basically, I think they're based out of the States. I didn't know much about them, but she doesn't have to go around from door to door to door. She just tells people this is what she uses and say, here, try this. If you talk about having no energy, here, try this. And they drink it, and they're noticing a change. The next few days, they're calling her up and saying, can I have some? I'm not feeling so high. I'm not feeling that caffeine fix and, you know, heading out the door. It's like they're feeling more comfortable. They're having better sleeps. And yet it's not hurting them. So I tried to...
On that note, Derek, on Thursday, in Canada, the multi-level marketing companies are basically represented in Ottawa by an organization called the Direct Sellers Association.
Oh.
And that would include big companies like Avon and Mary Kay and Shackley and others. Exactly. And while Herbalife is not so much direct. However, this was one of the international top companies, and the person I spoke to said that she had 130,000 people in her personal downline in Canada, and that what they'd been told by their lobbyists in Ottawa was not being reflected in the reality they're experiencing at the border and on the ground, and that they were losing products, that they were losing customers, and that they were losing options. And the Direct Sellers Association had thought us too aggressive in a sense, because some of your listeners may recall in Canada, starting in 2003, we started a campaign in Ottawa with a very progressive member of Parliament from Nanaimo, Alberni. It was a bill called Bill C-420 that was a private member's bill that sought to amend the Food and Drug Act by striking Section 3 of the Act, and which is the part of the act that makes it a criminal offense to sell to the general public or to advertise to the general public any product for the prevention or treatment of any of the diseases or disease states listed on Schedule A of the Food and Drug Act, which is like the big list, cancer, heart disease, yada, yada, that sort of stuff. And then a bunch of lame diseases as well. And that bill died on the order paper in the June 2004 election that Paul Martin won, and that went to the minority government, and then it was brought back to the House by a gentleman, a member of Parliament from Oshawa, who is now also the parliamentary secretary to the Minister of Health, and I kind of lost my train of thought there. The health
yeah.
Here, Sean, I
so you were talking about the Direct Sellers Association.
Oh, the Direct Sellers Association, and they thought we were crazy bringing that forward because of the difficulties we were experiencing. And I find it interesting now that one of the top three global players is contacting us and saying, hey, maybe you guys weren't so nuts after all, that there is a problem here, and that we should have paid closer attention in the past. In fact, Sean and I will be meeting with them in early December. And I guess I should hit, because I think that we're running out of time here a little bit. And
we're doing pretty good so far.
there is a purpose to this, though,
yeah.
And the phenomenon isn't isolated just to Canada.
Yeah.
There was just recently a huge battle in New Zealand where New Zealand was trying to get absorbed into the Australian system of regulation, which the current model in Health Canada
yeah.
is greatly modeled after. And there it was called the Trans-Tasman Health Authority. There's a big push on currently in South America. Most people are probably familiar with the giant fight going on in the European Union right now, and the European Union Food Supplements Directive, and the European Union Herbal Supplements Directive.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is all part and parcel of the Codex Alimentarius Commission, which, although it has no force in law, the Codex guidelines will be the explicit dispute resolution mechanism for any disputes that are brought to the World Trade Organization,
yeah.
of which most modern nations, in fact, I think the WTO has like 175 members out of 190 countries or something like that. So it will be the rule book for international trade disputes. And there was just a meeting in South Africa this last week, in fact, where one of the Codex committees to deal specifically with supplements, not so much herbs, but supplements,
mm-hmm.
it's the Codex Committee on Foods for Special Dietary Uses.
Mm-hmm.
And they are now just about formalizing what they call the safe upper limits of food supplements, which are defined more by the form they're delivered in, i.e. capsules, than by what they actually are. And they're talking what are called as RDAs, as the required daily allowance, which was originally established in the Second World War as the minimum amount of nutrition to keep a soldier in the field without having them die of malnutrition.
Yeah.
And so they don't want people to get high-value food for whatever reason. However,
they want a downsized population. That's true.
Well, that's one way of looking at it. One of the things I stumbled across was several years ago when I was, looking at the who benefits from this. And something to bear in mind is that in North America, we have right now about 20 million baby boomers who
yep.
are entering into retirement
yeah.
in defined benefit pension plans at about $50,000 a year each on average. And if those 20 million were to live 1 year longer on average, in the privately administered defined benefit pension funds, they'd be looking at a $10 trillion unfunded liability. So it's a big number, and I'm not sure exactly what the solution is. I don't think it's financial Armageddon, although it looks like we're flirting with that as we speak.
Well, people have forgotten that we've known how to survive, and that's the reason why the government's afraid that we know how to survive.
Yeah, there's no money in that, though.
No, there's no money in that. Now, before going further, now let's go back to Vancouver. Let's go back to what we did from the beginning. Now, what's going to happen next? What did you guys do? I mean, you talked to me about this, but I wanted to let the public know. In Vancouver, you guys went to court, and what did take place?
Okay, so I was telling you earlier about how Health Canada decided that they were going to treat any plant from which you could chemically extract a prescription substance.
Yeah.
They're going to treat that as prescription only.
Yeah.
So they went after really four or five herbs in their initial attack. So anything containing yuhimbi bark. And yuhimbi bark is really good as a sexual aid. So if you have erectile dysfunction, that's where something like yuhimbi bark
mm-hmm.
shines. The problem is it doesn't give you heart attacks like some of the other chemical pharmaceutical ones.
Yeah. What was that?
One
most common one they use.
Well, I'm not naming names, but it's an example, right?
Yeah.
So it's an example, and they went after red yeast rice and cowhage and Peter, help me out. What were the other two? Gotu-Kola. Yeah. So we went to court. Strauss had a product called Strauss Energy 6, which contains seven plants, one being yohimbi bark.
Yes.
And basically arguing, look at this interpretation of the law is wrong, and telling the court that, you cannot, it would be absurd if you would allow Health Canada to treat any plant from which you can extract a prescription drug is a prescription drug. Like you had mentioned, Derek, green tea and red and black tea and cocoa, which are in tons of natural health products.
Definitely.
I mean, other things like garlic, you can extract prescription drugs from. The list is long. And it was funny. We argued for 3 days. And the first day, the judge was, at least my reading was, is that, you know, he wasn't with us. And, you know, there were some very interesting questions. And, but it seemed that by the end of the hearing, you know, the judge was giving us a very, he seemed to be understanding what we were trying to communicate. And so we're having to wait now. The judge reserved. So we're waiting for a decision to come out.
Uh-huh.
We're not sure when it will come out. We're actually quite anxious to find out whether or not, you know, a large number of natural health products are now going to be by prescription only, even though you can buy them as foods without a prescription.
Yeah.
So, which is just it adds to the absurdity, right? So you can go to Safeway and buy green tea, drink it as tea, but, you know, if you go to your health food store and there's a health claim, because green tea actually has a lot of health benefits.
Well, here's something else you can do. Basically, if they take green tea off the shelf, they're going to piss off the Asian community. That's their main consumption.
Oh, yeah, but there's
well, right, but they won't take it off as a food. That's what makes the safety arguments just absurd.
Exactly.
Because how can you say that you need to take from Canadians a treatment away because it's not safe? And then allow the exact same product to be sold as a food without any regulation.
Yes.
And it's like, it's the emperor has no clothes. So I really wasn't kidding when I was telling your listeners, when they hear the government say this is necessary for your safety, I mean, they should be suspicious.
This is for real, guys out there, you folks out there, it's for real. This is the real McCoy. These guys are here to protect our herbs, but we need your help too, we need your support. Now, to let you all know ahead of time, those of you to know a quick story, but before I go any further, Strauss Herb Company, Strauss, if you go to my website, you'll see it on there. Go to the website and you'll see. If you want to order anything online, these guys are fabulous. They can actually help assist you in anything you need to, if you're dealing with any kind of health issues or assistance on any kind of herbs that are available in your community. Also, again, you can also check out their the website. Under the nhppa.org, or also on the page is the charterofhealthfreedom.org/videos. Go there, guys. Check this out. Now, I'll let you guys know real quick here, because we're pretty, I've got a little, just a couple more minutes here. Many years back, I was quite sick. I was sick at church. And this man walked into the church. I didn't even know who he was. Nobody knew who he was. Walked right in. And said to someone, I got, and my name was on this list on the wall, and he said, I got to see this man here to talk to. The guy walked in, he came into my room, which I was available time, and chat with me. He says, are you Derek? Yes, I am. And he sat down, he says, I have a message for you from God. He said, Spirit told me to tell you that you've done a wonderful job in this world, and you're quite sick, and you need help. And these are the Strauss heart drops. They placed them on the table, and he says, God told me that's all taken care of. You need to take care of yourself. Please take these. And I said, I can't afford this at the time because I had no money on me at the time. And he said, don't worry about it. It's all taken care of. Please take this and you'll do fine. The man left the room and walked out of that church. No one could find him. But he saved my life.
Well, can I tell you a story about the heart drop?
Sure.
So, I mean, I first ran into Jim Strauss, the gentleman who made the heart drop.
Mm-hmm.
He was suing Health Canada because Health Canada seized a bunch of herbs of his at the border. And I actually acted for Health Canada to have his thing thrown out of court. Years later, he's charged by the doctors and physicians with practicing medicine without a license because he was claiming to treat heart disease with these heart drops. And I didn't know anything about the natural health community. Like, I just thought this was snake oil. But in defending him, we decided we were going to attack the legislation and say, listen, the legislation says you can't make a truthful health claim. We're saying that violates our freedom of expression. And so I had to find out, well, is he telling the truth? And I said, you know, Jim, do we have any evidence your heart drops work? And without batting an eye, I'm at his herb shop. He just goes in the back and he brings out, I bet you it was 7 or 8 boxes filled with letters that people wrote in to say, you know, I had heart disease, I was dying, the doctors couldn't do anything, I took your heart drops and I got well. I go, and I can't enter those letters in as evidence. That would be hearsay.
Mm-hmm.
But I can call the authors of the letters, put them on the stand, they swear to tell the truth. I had arranged for 5 middle-class professional witnesses who had all had heart disease. They'd all had at least 1 bypass surgery, some more than 1.
Mm-hmm.
They'd all continued to have heart disease because the reason their arteries were being clogged up wasn't being treated by the doctors. They all needed another bypass surgery, and here's where they differed. Some of them, the medical community wasn't willing to put them through again because they weren't good candidates to survive.
Oh, jeez.
And some of them just weren't willing to go through it again. They had so many complications they'd rather die. So they were forced to turn to alternative health. They come across the heart drops. They start taking them. They get well. Whereas they all couldn't work before, they all go back to work.
Yeah.
One of them, Doug Henderson, even wrote a book called Diet and Exercise as a Crock. You can probably still buy it. And in interviewing people, in preparing for that trial, like it opened my eyes. It was like, my gosh, this is real. Like, there are people in this industry, there are products that actually save people's lives. And the product, I mean, I'm a private lawyer, so I'm not a Strauss lawyer. They just hired me in this court action.
Yeah.
But in working with Jim Strauss in that trial, I mean, I was blown away at how many people had actually, their lives had been saved by these Strauss heart drops. And so Health Canada attacked them later
mm-hmm.
in the name of public safety when the truth was if they had actually won and taken the heart drops off the market, people would have been injured.
Well, guys, I'd like to thank you so much for coming on the show, even though, like, my show's 1 hour. Everybody keeps on saying, which was 2. I want to get you guys back here again sometime. Would you be interested in coming back?
Oh, certainly would, Derek.
Oh, it'd be fabulous to have you guys here. I'm going to send you guys the forwarding emails that I get from people. Please send us your feedback on this show, because I want this specific show so I can get people to tell your people out there to tell others. I got people saying they're contacting their friends, family in Victoria, Vancouver, Saskatoon, Toronto. So they're letting everybody else know out there right now that there's going to be a lot of acknowledgement of what's been going on in this program, and they're going to get a hold of you or contact the Strauss Company, because I just gave them the website as well. So I'd like to thank you guys for coming on. It's been absolutely fabulous. Folks, I'd like to thank you for listening to the show. Next week is me. We'll talk about what I'll be talking about next week anyways. It's been great to have you guys on the show and listening to the show. And, what can I say? I get so much to say. I can keep on asking question after question after question. So next week, folks, take care out there, and we'll talk to you next week. Take care. Be safe. Bye. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Derek.
Thank you. Bye-bye.